In 1997, on our virtual tour, we arrive at Clonevin, again in our Domine group, another coastal church. And in a previous reflection, I was paying tribute to the people of our Domine group who make sure that their string of coastal churches are so fruitfully used week by week during the summer months for continuing fruitful visitor outreach. And I've visited them in many years in that context. But of course, I've been in Clonevin on other occasions too. And this particular year, I recall that in another year, I was there for a carol service. I always like to go to one or two authentic parish carol services, as well as to what goes on in the cathedrals, and to join in the community singing and the robust joy of parish carol services. And one's heart goes out to those who won't be doing that this year, who long to do it again, who'll be investigating other imaginative online means. And for example, our communications officer is trying to have an online carol sung by singers from every parish in the diocese, which will be part of increasing our joy as we have a diocesan rendition of It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. But Clonevin reminds me of how we'd all miss carol services in our parishes as we knew them for now. 1997, almost hard to believe now just how in the mid-1990s the word Drumcree seemed to be on the lips of nearly every member of the Church of Ireland. Many will remember the background. For many years previously, members of the Portadown Orange Lodges had attended a July service at the pretty semi-rural Drumcree Parish Church on the edge of the town, and then it was the tradition to march back into the town along the traditional route, which was the Garvahee Road. The trouble was that part of that traditional route, part of what the loyalists like to call the Queen's Highway, had over the years, through building and ghettoisation, become a highly nationalist area, and the Orange March through the midst of it became anathema to the residents and of course to their political leaders and mentors. In the mid-1990s, the annual standoff at Drumcree, when the hugely reinforced security forces tried to prevent the marchers proceeding back along the Garvahee Road, became a focus of international attention. Violence erupted around the church and all over Northern Ireland. Roads were blocked. Regular life was dislocated. All of it indeed led directly to a number of fatalities through violence. And at the heart of all of this, not least in the public eye, was a Church of Ireland church and a Church of Ireland service. The unfortunate rector, whose name was John Pickering, was in the midst of it as the world's media came to listen to his annual sermon. Archbishop Eames, then the primate, described it as his personal Calvary and a cameo of the challenge of community relationships and differing cultures across the north. 1997 was one of the worst years, and the last time when the security forces ultimately concluded, after a standoff of days, that the least worst option was to let the march back along Garvahee Road, but it was never to happen again. Over the years, things have calmed significantly, but a measure of resentment over the loss of the traditional route remains, and an annual, now modest, protest is made. For several years, a leading Portadown Orangeman lived in a caravan outside Drumcree Church, claiming that he would wait whatever length of time was needed in order to return from the July service along the traditional route. The unfortunate and very visual association of the Church of Ireland with the whole thing did the Church of Ireland little good, either in the South or internationally. People marvelled how the worship of Almighty God in one of our churches could apparently be at the heart of all this, and the powerlessness of the church to deal with the excesses of behaviour that surrounded it, amongst no doubt a minority of people, but there were a good number of examples of excessive behaviour, and the powerlessness of the church to deal with it on its own property was clear. I remember presenting the Standing Committee report at the General Synod and abandoning the usual reticence of the South to comment on the pain of the North. I observed that no event in my lifetime had done more damage to the witness and credibility of the Church in the South than Drumcree. It was one of those utterances, perhaps in retrospect, a little full of bravado and even assumed righteousness, that won me some friends, but sadly had the opposite effect also. But much of what led to the fury of Drumcree continues even now to pass my understanding.